Well, happy Sunday, everybody, and welcome. I'm actually away this weekend leading a retreat for married couples, but we are so fortunate to have Father Jean-Marie Zawadi with us this weekend, who is celebrating this Mass. I'll be taking the first part of the homily today, and then Father Zawadi will take over the second half. We're kind of tag-teaming it today. You know, there's nothing harder than trying to stay focused, you know, when you have to. I remember years ago in church, I couldn't stop laughing because the priest accidentally slurped the communion wine. It was completely audible. And the 16-year-old kid next to me started giggling under her breath. Well, pretty soon we couldn't contain ourselves. No matter how desperately we tried to stifle our snickering and stay focused on what was happening on the altar, we kept bursting out into fits of uncontrollable laughter. It got so bad, we had to exit rather abruptly to the disapproving stares of the other parishioners. But you know, life can be like that sometimes, right? We want to stay focused, but everything takes our attention off of what we know we're supposed to do. And that's why we developed this new message series that we started last week called Focus. It's about improving our lives by narrowing our field of vision and focusing on what matters most in life. Most of us, unfortunately, are hopelessly distracted by our phones, computers, interruptions, errands, appointments, and messages. So much so that we find it difficult to concentrate on the things that are really important in life. So in this series, we want to help you keep your eye on the ball and stay focused on the most important stuff in life, like your faith, your family, and the people around you who need help, so you won't have any regrets at the end of your life. Now, last week, we started off this series by talking about the most common and most dangerous distraction of all: money and possessions. As we said, it's not wealth per se that's the problem, but rather the intense desire for it. Jesus warned his disciples about greed and having too many possessions. The constant desire for more money and possessions not only causes significant stress in our lives, but also disproportionately captures our attention. Worse yet, it shifts the focus onto ourselves, where it really shouldn't be, and away from what really matters, like helping the poor and fulfilling our God-given purpose in life. Now, this week, we're going to look at a different kind of distraction. And this distraction consumes a tremendous amount of our mental energy. It pulls us away from our work and other responsibilities. And it usually happens when the demands of work and life start to overwhelm us. Our imagination wanders. Our minds drift to visions of white sand beaches, shopping sprees at upscale malls, trips around the world, luxury cruises, and other dream vacations. We fantasize about five-star restaurants, relaxing spa days, and lazy afternoons, reading romance novels or binge-watching the latest Netflix series. In fact, the average American spends nearly 200 hours a year daydreaming about taking that amazing vacation they so deserve. Whatever our favorite leisure activity, we tend to believe that we don't get enough of it, and end up daydreaming about it constantly. Without a doubt, we like our time off, don't we? In fact, we're so often obsessed with it. Many workers suffer from a chronic case of the Mondays, and we can't wait for hump day on Wednesday and rejoice when it's finally Friday. There's even a national restaurant chain dedicated to thanking God every Friday. It's called TGI Fridays. But the irony is that we rarely get away from work. Half of all workers never use all of their vacation time, and they even feel guilty about taking it. 70% of those who do take their vacation time check in with the workplace while they're on vacation. Then there's the other escape that we fantasize about, early retirement. According to one study, more than half of all people think that retiring early and living a life of leisure would be attractive, more attractive than working a long time in a job they would find fulfilling and productive. But the truth is that people who retire are more likely to die young. They're more likely to be sicker and to suffer from anxiety and depression. Add to that the stress of trying to save enough for retirement, and it's a recipe for disaster. No, the problem is not that we need more leisure or early retirement. The problem is our definition of work. I love my work. I love ministry, which is probably why I'm one of those people who find it impossible to turn work off on vacation. But most people, sadly, don't love their work. A 2017 Gallup poll found that 85% of workers are either not engaged or actively disengaged from their work. They don't find meaning in it. But the truth is that almost all work is important. Whatever occupies you on a daily basis, whether it's paid or unpaid, is important. It's a service to the world. And when you're able to see your work as something that helps others, you'll be happier. As human beings, we were made for work and for accomplishing good things in the world through our work. Work that is an act of love and service for others, not leisure, is the best path to a more fulfilled and meaningful life. See, we don't work hard just to get to the weekend. We get to the weekend to refresh us so we can get back to work and focus on what we were meant to do. The way to overcome the distraction of leisure is to rediscover the positive goodness that your work brings into the world. As author Seth Godin once wrote, instead of wondering when your next vacation is, maybe you should set up a life you don't need to escape from. At the end of the day, the bigger question is this: are we on this planet to consume or to serve? In fact, that's the very question in the gospel reading today. Jesus tells his disciples, gird your loins and light your lamps and be like servants who await their master's return. See, right there, Jesus makes it clear that we are to see ourselves as servants, waiting for him to return, being ready to serve. We are on this earth not to consume, to relax, to eat, drink, and be merry. In fact, Jesus refers to us, his disciples, as stewards. A steward is someone who takes care of property that belongs to someone else. And according to Jesus, there are two types of servants, two types of stewards. The first type is what he calls the faithful and prudent steward, whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time. The second type is the unfaithful and imprudent steward. What was he doing while the boss was away? Well, you guessed it. He's the one who said to himself, hey, my master is delayed in coming. And he begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, you know, taking advantage of them, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The good steward takes care of the owner's property and feeds the others. The bad steward consumes the owner's property and uses it for his own pleasure. And Jesus says the good steward will be rewarded, while the bad steward will be severely punished to the degree he should have known better. The best way to overcome the distraction of a self-centered preoccupation with leisure and consumption is this: acts of service. Whether you're at work, home, or school, in your neighborhood or at church, you are called not to be a consumer primarily, not to waste God's resources exclusively on yourself, but to be a good and faithful steward, helping the poor, distributing the food allowance, and helping out wherever and whenever you can. I'd like to welcome now Father Zawadi, who will preach the rest of this homily, and he's going to tell you about one very important way that you can do just that, that you can live your life as a good steward for God, feeding others.
I will only speak for 8 minutes. I will try. I like to preach, but when I have to preach in English, I'm a little bit nervous. But I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and this power of the Holy Spirit is working inside me and inside each of you. The same power of the Holy Spirit is working in our church. The same power of the Holy Spirit will help us to understand each other, even with my African accent. We are Crozier fathers and brothers. Crozier is written C-R-O-S-I-E-R. Crozier fathers and brothers, or the Order of the Holy Cross. We started our mission in Europe in 1210. We have been serving the church for many years, more than 800 years, serving the church in Europe, in the United States, in Brazil, in Africa, and also in Indonesia. And I'm here to speak with you about our wonderful ministry in Indonesia. In Indonesia, we started the Catholic Foundation, where we are serving almost 100 schools in Indonesia. And also now we are starting to serve at our vocational school. This place welcomes many children, and we teach them how to make tables, how to make candles, how to work with computers, how they can do electricity, they can do mechanic. And we have been very blessed because after 2 or 3 years of training these children, we are able to see a big change in their life. How they are curious, how they want to learn, how they like to make things and create new things. And when I speak about this project, I receive many questions from many people. Father Zawadi, why are you raising fund for your mission in Indonesia? And you are from the Congo. Why? And I say, it is because of my own experience. I grew up in a little town on a farm, far away from a school. So to go to school, my father, my mother, they have to send me far away from our home, seeking for education. And I'm proud of them. Because of them, I am who I am. When I go home and I see my friends, how until today they don't know how to write and to read, I'm sad. The other reason is because I met with a wonderful couple in Minnesota, Richard and Barbara. They were asking me questions about the Crozier's and how we serve the people in need throughout the world. And one day I tell them the story about Kasoki. She wanted to become a medical doctor, but she lost her father. The father was everything, a family of 9 children. So their mother was struggling to take care of 9 children. So Kasoki was hopeless. On the phone, when she was speaking with me, she was crying. And I told this story to Richard and Barbara. They said to me, "Father, how if we can help her to become a medical doctor?" They have been sponsoring this lady for many years. Now she has become the first medical doctor for her village. So many things in our life give us inspiration. And I start to think, how if we can do more? How if we can educate more children in our different nations? That's why I share this with many people and ask them to join our mission of touching suffering with hope. I'm grateful to the Archbishop of your Archdiocese and the Mission Office because they heard about our wonderful ministry, our wonderful work around the world, and they asked us to come and share it with you. I'm grateful to your pastor for his extraordinary hospitality. You can see how your language is very difficult. Yes, it is. If you want to support us, it costs us $2,500 to support one orphan at our vocational school. It costs us $10,000 to support one seminarian for 1 year. And we have been blessed. We have 50 seminarians in Indonesia, and around the world we have 110 seminarians. It costs to us $4,000 to buy a boat for the Crozier's mission in Papua, where we don't have roads. What they use there is just boats from villages to other village, from a village to another. They use boat to go to different missions. And we have been blessed to have 10 parishes for the Crozier's. I'm very grateful for you being here and hearing me. And there is on the pews, you will see the yellow envelopes. This is for the mission of the Crozier Fathers and Brothers. You can put your contribution inside, but we see Society for the Propagation of the Faith. So the contribution, when we will have the collection, you put your ordinary collection, and then you put for the Crozier Fathers and Brothers here in this yellow envelope. If you are not ready today, don't mind. You take it and you send it back to your church, to your parish, and say that it is for the Crozier Fathers and Brothers. I have already 8 minutes. I stop. Thank you for listening to me in my African accent.